Yeah, we just got done. We were out street bridging. What's your name?
Alex.
Alex, I'm Two Posts.
What is it?
Two Posts.
Okay.
There's one of our gospel carts.
Okay.
You look like you're dressed up going somewhere.
Yeah, we've got a meeting this evening.
And what's who's we? What is it?
I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, you're a Jehovah Witness.
Have you ever spoken with Jehovah's Witnesses before?
I have. I talk to Jehovah Witnesses. Well, let me just say this. I talk to Jehovah Witnesses fairly often. Rarely do they ever talk to me. I've never had one come up to me.
Why is that?
Never. You ask.
I'm surprised.
You tell me. I do this all over the country.
Okay.
And we street preach. We're just holding gospel signs down in the main square and witnessing to people. Normally, where I approach, and we go and we stand outside churches. So what we do is we go out and preach the gospel. We'll cover that in a minute. We go outside churches, outside. We don't interrupt their services. We go to events, you know, festivals, sporting events. We stand outside. We go into streets. This is my wife's sister, Amin. We go, this is Alex. He's Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
I thought you were a pastor or something when I saw you walk up. You don't look Jehovah's Witness, quite honestly, but anyway.
What do you expect from a Jehovah's Witness, just out of curiosity?
A lot of the men that I see dressed as Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of the younger men are like, I would call them like pretty slick looking.
Okay.
They're like really slicked up. I mean,
are you thinking perhaps the Church of Latter-day Saints?
No, okay. I know the difference between the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses.
Okay.
Anyway, we go and we preach all over the place.
Okay.
And
where all have you been?
Normally, all over the country we go. And because we retired early, this is our house. I retired, we fund ourselves, this is what we go do.
Okay.
Normally, I run in Jehovah's Witnesses, we walk through a festival, and they're standing there with their booth, their little thing.
Yep.
So they don't really street preach.
We do it, we actually...
Never seen one yet.
Really?
You know what I see, and I don't want to be... I guess I'll mock a little bit, because it was okay, because one of the prophets mocked some false teachers, and I have to say, I think Jehovah's Witnesses are false faith. Most of the time we see Jehovah's Witnesses, they stand on little rubber mats. I've been noticing, they have like, the older ones, especially old people like me, I guess their feet hurt, they stand on rubber mats, and they just stand there. That's not what the Bible told us to do. The Bible,
24:14.
My master said, go, preach the gospel, lift up your voice. The word preach means a public crier, and go and tell the good news. And along with that is sometimes you have to rebuke, correct, exhort, send off, draw in. Jehovah's Witnesses usually just stand there like this. And I approach them, and if you go on my website, you'll see various witnessing experiences that I've had with them. And generally, I walk up to them, and I preach the biblical gospel to them. So I'll walk up to them. And I'll say, hey, Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm here street preaching. Let me preach you. So I preach to them Christ crucified, the risen Savior, Christ Jesus, fully man, fully God. We already disagree right there. Who came into the world to seek and save the lost and shed his blood and rose again. And that's the good news we're here to preach to people. And then I tell them that the Bible says we must repent and come out of the world and false religion and every false way to seek after Christ. Those were his first ministry words. The Bible says you'll be born again by the Spirit of God when he sees somebody willing to obey, Acts 5. And then the fruit that were of Jesus is not a man-made religious system like Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Evangelical, Roman Catholic, Anabaptist, whatever. The fruit of Jesus is your life matches his word, his doctrines, his ways. Jesus said, God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. And so you must be following him in spirit and truth, holiness and obedience. And then the last part of the gospel I proclaim to them is that you must endure till the end. I'm married. My marriage has to endure. If I have a job, the job has to endure. I'm an American citizen. If I want to uphold that and have my rights to go preach, I've got to endure in their laws and keep the laws. So that's the gospel. And then I'll say to Jehovah's Witnesses, the men, I usually... because I don't like to preach to men's wives. I think that's unbiblical. I'll turn to the men. A lot of times there's husband and wife or couples out there witnessing. Sometimes it's just women. And I'll say, why should I be a Jehovah's Witness? And here's what I get. My wife is shaking her head because she's an eyewitness. And I say, do you have anything to say? And they go... And I go, well... Let me tell you why I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. And then I begin to tell them that they don't preach the biblical gospel I just proclaimed to you. They don't believe Jesus is deity when he said, before Abraham was, I am. John 1 tells us that Christ is the creator. Colossians 1 tells us Christ is the creator. In Genesis, we have, let us make man in our image. I think that's, it's clear. It's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And then I tell them that you're following a false man-made religious system made up by a man not that long ago, Russell. And it's had to change its doctrines over the years. It's had to write its own Bible, though, what, is it the New World Translation? I think a couple times I said the Trans World. It's New World.
We do use the New World Translation.
New World. And so what, the reason he did that is he had to take out these words to deny the deity of Christ because it doesn't match the theology. He also, the other thing that he changed was he was preaching that 144,000 are going to make it in the kingdom until the Jehovah Witnesses got more than 144,000. Then he had to change all of those theologies, and it actually caused a split in the Jehovah Witnesses. So, in love, Alex, were you born a Jehovah Witness?
I was.
Yeah. You're following a man-made religious system that came along, what, in the early 1900s? When Jesus established his body in the first century, and Jesus said, as we said, we must worship in spirit and truth. Jesus said, if you follow man-made traditions, in Mark 7,
traditions is not the way to go.
If you follow man-made traditions, and Jesus isn't talking about you drive a van, that's a man-made tradition. That has nothing to do with the Father. He's talking about traditions linked to the Father. Christmas and Easter, and I know you and I agree on that. These mm-hmm. are pagan holidays. There's two places I know we absolutely agree. Ready?
Okay.
Pagan holidays.
Yep.
Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, or lies, Roman Catholic lies. And yep. I believe, do you guys still teach this, that Jesus died on a stake, not a cross?
Correct.
You got that right, too, because, yeah, absolutely.
Staros.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know why so many people miss that, but
so, okay, so that was super
in love. Blind squirrels find nuts every once in a while. So you got a couple things right, but you're following a man-made false tradition.
Well, you know, it's an interesting point. Let me see if I can find it. My tablet don't want to work right now.
So, why would I follow a man-made system that comes along 1,900 years after Jesus established his body? And Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit, Alex. If I look at the fruit of the Jehovah Witness faith, it looks nothing like what the first century saints were like. Oftentimes we see Jehovah's Witness women that look very worldly. The men look very worldly. They pretty much are building-centered in that model, and it's all about the organization. And that's nothing like what we see in the New Testament. The New Testament had multiple elders in each town that were autonomous from the next town. You guys are all glued to JW.org. This is a man-made, it's a cult. I love you. It's a cult. I got to tell you the truth. You're deceived in a cult, and it is not an autonomous body of Christ where the Holy Spirit leads and true men of God lead. It is a man-made organization full of a bunch of heresy and deception that's going to damn your soul.
You know, I do disagree with you. I understand where you're coming from. I do understand where you're coming from. And it's kind of in line with Romans 12, too. It's something that we're encouraged to do, to stop being molded by this system of things, but be transformed by making your mind over, such you may prove to yourselves the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
That's a man-made translation there, but Romans 12:2 is a really good one. Romans 12:1.
What translation do you prefer?
I like the King James, and I check it to the Greek and the Hebrew.
Okay.
King James is not a perfect Bible translation. It's got a few errors in it. They use the word Easter in Acts, and it should be Passover. So, but I look at the Greek and the Hebrew. But yeah, don't be like the world. So you guys have come out of the pagan holidays. Why do Jehovah Witnesses dress like the world? I'll just throw that at you. The women do. We've seen women, some of them we've seen actually wear makeup and jewelry. I've seen that. I thought that was against. Now, maybe this is more liberal groups. I don't know. And we see the women adorning themselves, and we see them wearing fashionable clothes like the culture, when maybe you've never been taught this, probably as a Jehovah Witness you haven't. In Genesis 3, God, the Father, who is Christ, kills animals, sheds blood, and makes tunic-like garments for us to cover ourselves now that we know sin and we're going to be proclivity is to sin. And he puts robes on us. And you know, if you study it, it's never changed. It's all through the Old Testament. All the priests, priests, prophets, pastors too would have back then. And then New Testament, all the disciples, Jesus, everyone wore a robe or a tunic-like garment. Robe would be longer for women, tunic for men. It doesn't have to be quite as long. But we come out of the culture, we don't wear makeup, we don't wear jewelry, we don't wear suits and ties, because that becomes like fashionable and pride. Clothing is actually a sin covering. And they don't teach you that.
Interesting idea.
It's not an idea. It's what God's word teaches.
Okay.
God himself did it in Genesis 3. Why does no one obey it, including Jehovah's Witnesses? Just another one of the false teachings that you have. You're worldly.
We do endeavor to stand out from the world. And I think you would agree that the world, maybe from a business standpoint, we look similar. But from a dress
standpoint, you look very similar. But where do you stand out from the world? So you're the first Jehovah's Witness that'll talk to me. Do you guys have televisions in your house?
We do.
Okay. So that's very worldly.
But we follow, we're very careful on what we watch.
What's good on TV? What's good, pure, true? Philippians 4:8. Focus on what is good, pure, true, worthy, noble, lovely. Focus on these things. What on TV? The weatherman? Well, usually when I had a TV, I'd click it on and it was a weather woman in a skin tight dress. You know, so it's like, what is good, pure, and true? And then if we're supposed to preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded, how does sitting watching TV fit into that?
A handful of rest is better than two handfuls of hard work.
When Jesus rested, he went into the wilderness and communed with the Father. He didn't look at the Roman games, which is what TV is.
The Roman games were violent.
But TV is violent. TV is carnal. TV is violent, carnal, immodest, worldly, antichrist, secular. Do you guys watch sports and stuff?
Some do.
You?
No.
You don't. Because sports are of the world, politics are of the world, movies.
And we don't get involved in
movies
politics.
And entertainment are of the world. So I'm glad that I met you. I'm learning that the Jehovah's Witnesses are, you know, like, okay, some people think we're in, you know what Mormons and Jehovah, Mennonites and Amish are?
Yeah.
Okay. Some people, when they see us, not so much me, when they see my wife, they think we're... They think we're... There's another one where you guys fail. The Bible's clear on that, 1 Corinthians 11. But anyway, a lot of times people think we're Anabaptists, and I always tell them, no, we're not. And then we find out, we used to think when we were first Christians that the Anabaptists were, like, really set apart from the world. You know, we found out, like these guys, the horses and the buggies and no electricity. One Amish guy told me, he said, you know what they love to do every Monday? I said, what? He said, they love to go to town and get newspapers. And I said, what do they get newspapers for? He goes, they follow the NFL. And I said, what? I said, do they have TVs and radios? Oh, no, the elders wouldn't allow that. But they can go get a newspaper and see if their team's won. And they all like, you know.
The hypocrisy.
They're full of hypocrisy. So, yeah, head coverings you don't teach on. You brought that one up. There's just a whole bunch of things. You're very ritual. Do you guys gather on Sundays?
Typically.
Yeah, okay.
Not all congregations. It depends.
Okay. You're very, also very building-centered. Go for a ritual program at a building. Probably have a couple ministers that do all the teaching. That looks nothing like the New Testament. The New Testament was a group of people, the women being silent, not teaching men. You guys, do you have women teachers and stuff? I've actually had one. You guys are good at that. I don't think all the years, I think we've only had one Jehovah's Witness woman. Boy, she got up and she got in my face and I was like, ma'am, I'm like, you supposed to be doing that? And it was in Wisconsin Dells. We preach there and we meet them there. And most of the time the women are quiet. Most of the time the men are quiet. But a biblical gathering would be the women quiet, okay? Meaning when we're teaching, going to the Word. All men would be teaching. So you'd have elders to oversee, make sure everything's in line. You'd have some men that are called to be teachers and preachers. Not all men are. But then any man could get up and say, the Lord wants me to share this. Read scripture, sing a hymn, a prayer request, give an experience, ask a question. And rather than an hour and a half service, you could gather with a group of believers and it could take 6 hours. And you're just fellowshipping, having, enjoying it. You know, you could do a Lord. Do you guys do the Lord's Supper?
We do.
Is it a meal or is it the ritual tidbit?
It's the bread and the wine.
It's the ritual tidbit. That's what the room. See, one thing that you need to study on, young man. How old are you?
How old would you guess?
25.
Hey, you're pretty close. 24. Yeah.
Okay, I got a brother that's 26, so I'm getting used to younger people's ages. I remember what it was like to be 25. It goes by fast. The Roman Catholics handed down many of the things you're practicing. The building-centered worship, a couple of men leading, a lot of structure and organization, and that bread, that tidbit in the bread. Go read in Matthew 26 when Jesus handed it down. it was over a full meal.
It was.
Yeah. And so you guys have turned it into an assembly line. It's a little tidbit that the evangelicals do it. And you probably know by now, you hear me talking, we stand against the evangelicals. We stand outside their churches. We stand against the Catholics, the Mormons. I think the one place we have never stood out yet is outside a Jehovah's Witness church. And it's only because we travel and we scope out a church. We need a place where we have public access, because literally 80% of the time, do you know what pastors do?
What's that?
Call the police on me. I'm on a public sidewalk, not interrupting their service, waiting for someone like you to come talk to me. They call the police. I mean, the police go, what do you want us to do? He's peaceful. Should we shoot him? I mean, what? And the police, we witness to them and they leave. So we've never really found a lot of good Jehovah's Witnesses. They tend to be way out in the country. A lot of them do. And it's bad for, we need the three P's for street preaching. Parking, people, and public access. Jehovah's Witnesses a lot of times don't have that, but I'd like to stand outside some of your churches. I don't know if they'd come out and talk to me. They don't when I meet them in the Dells. I ask them, why should I be Jehovah's Witness? If they love me, why wouldn't they say a word? They're told.
I wasn't there. I will say.
You're different. They're told not to say anything. Why are you so approachable?
So we're not told to say nothing. In fact, on the contrary.
When someone confronts and knows about your faith, one Jehovah's Witness told me, he said, we're told to not speak when there's confrontation. That's what he told me.
And that's in line with Bible principles, right? Responding mildly.
Well, not when I don't. Okay, you told me you're a Jehovah's Witness. I'm telling you truth and lovingly because I care for your soul. I'm supposed to love even my enemies. I'm lovingly telling you why you need to repent of the Jehovah's Witness faith or it's going to cost you your soul. No matter how well-intentioned you are going to lose your soul as a Jehovah's Witness because you're outside of the truth. You're probably not born again by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you'd be maybe testing for truth and leaving. It's going to cost you your family, your friends. You might have a job with Jehovah's Witness. It might cost you everything. It cost us everything to follow Christ. So I will spend the time to do that with you. But once that's done and I told you the truth and I've warned you, I can't go on with you. But I won't just, if you came, ready? What would this be like, Alex? If you saw I was a preacher of righteousness and you came up to me and you said, hi, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And I went, and I just walked away and left you.
Would
you feel love?
No.
Hopefully you see love in an eternal way for you by me spending time with you.
Well intentioned.
I believe that you're a heretic and that your system is damning your soul and anyone there is going to be damned. But look at me, I'm standing here talking to you. Paul is a good man to model after, was invited by pagans. I always tell people this. He was invited by pagans, Acts 17, to go to Mars Hill where all the idolatry was going on. And they said, come speak to us. And Paul actually went there and spoke to them because they wanted to hear. And so I would go anywhere. I got invited inside a Catholic church one time. I didn't go in because he ended up limited me, told me I could only say this or that and only gave me 10 minutes. I said, no, thank you. I'll go anywhere. Somebody invites me and they go, we want to hear what you have to say. So you're listening, and that's why I'm telling you these things. But you are you are not the normal. And it doesn't matter. Older, younger. I've met hundreds of Jehovah's Witnesses doing this. I've never met anybody stand and want to talk about it. Never.
Interesting.
And one last thought. I give them all a gospel card like you got. I do this to the Mormons too. I do this to the evangelicals and the Catholics. And I say, you don't have time. Maybe you can't do it. You don't want to do it. You're not qualified to do it. Have your father, your elder, your deacon, your pastor, your minister call me. If they love me, have them tell me why I'm wrong and why I should be that. Guess how many phone calls and emails I get.
Probably not many.
Close to next to zero out of thousands, hundreds of people I've met. Oh, probably in the couple thousands. Zero. And Jesus said this will be a sign that you love each other, but also a love would be for your enemy. Right? You love your enemy. If I saw a Satanist and he would listen to me, I would pour out truth to him to try to pull him from Satan's snare. I wouldn't go, ooh, I ain't wasting my time on a Satanist. I'm no better than a Satanist. I should be in hell. I'm no better than you. I'm no better than any Jehovah's Witness. Right? Neither my wife would tell you the same thing, but we're different.
We should view others as superior to ourselves.
Right. John the Baptist in John 3:30 said, I must decrease so Christ could increase, and I might be a bold preacher, but I think I know how to decrease myself and proclaim Christ and boast in his word and boast in his truth. So I love to tell people the gospel, and I would challenge you to test yourself. One time, we worked, my wife and I used to work before we were born again believers. We worked at a company together in different areas. There was a man that was the vice president. I want to tell you the story. Smart man. this man would sit there and take 6 months and count the figures to the penny. Can we turn profit on this job? This guy spent hundreds of hours on crunching numbers. That was his job. He was great at it. We went out preaching out west, and we met a cult group called 2x2s. You ever heard of them? Mm-mm. It's a group called 2x2s. It's a total cult. Well, we found out this guy, that man, his name was Jerry, was a 2x2.
Okay.
A cult leader. He was one of the leaders in the town. And we worked right next to him. He never once witnessed to us, never. I emailed him one day, and I said, Jerry, remember me? Oh, I remember you. I said, Jerry, are you a 2x2? Yes, I am. We were like blown away. We're like, we knew he was a little strange, okay, but he was a nice man. And I said, Jerry, we just found out about the 2x2s. This was like 10 years ago. I said, Jerry, have you ever studied the 2x2s, the theology, where it came from? You know what this man said to me? He said, no, I've never looked into it. And I said, were you born into that? He goes, yes, I was. And I sit there and I said, Jerry, this is the man that spent hundreds of hours crunching numbers to figure out if we could get pennies out of a program to make money. You never tested for your eternal soul. And he said, no, I never have.
I said,
you need to test, Jerry, because that is a cult you're in. And I sent him all the reasons why, and we never heard from him again. That's what you need to do.
You know, and I do. On the right.
How can you test the Jehovah Witness faith and stay in it? How can you?
Studying the Bible. So that's what I try and base my beliefs on. I study the Bible.
You have the wrong Bible. Your founder had to create a new Bible. Did you know that unless Russell repented, he's going to suffer burning? Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy and Revelation 22, take away from God's word, get your name taken out of the book of life, add to God's word, you get the plagues added to you. He added and he took away. And that's what you guys are doing as well. And I don't know how you can follow Jesus with a translation that is so corrupt. You don't believe Jesus is God. Jesus is absolutely God. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. Ready? This is going to throw you for a loop. You cannot disprove this. I don't even know if it says this in your Bible. They probably vetted it. Who in the Old Testament alone could be worshipped?
Jehovah God.
Guess who they worshipped in the New Testament? Says it all over. Jesus. They worshipped him. They worshipped him. You need to study better, young man. You need to study. I don't care how friendly you are and how nice you are. You're probably going to deceive a lot more people because of that. You better turn and repent from your false, wicked ways. Ready? Last thing I'm going to say to you. You're in the snare of Satan. He's got you in his clutches. And if you test and you have a heart for God and you cry out, God will give you light, and then you must obey the light, and you're going to lose everything. You'd have to turn from the Jehovah Witness faith. Lose your family, your friends. Are you married?
Nope.
Okay. That's a plus. You may lose your wife. You'll have to lose everything for the cause of Christ. But if you don't come out of that cult, you're not worshiping in spirit and truth. You're on the wrong side. And Jesus said in the last days, many will come saying, I am the Christ. You guys say that. And they will deceive many. Matthew 24. And you guys are being deceived by a false gospel, a false Jesus, a false Bible, and a false man-made religion. You need to repent. And if you ever do repent, you got my email.
All right.
You can reach out. I'll help you.
Have a good one.
Wrath is coming. Take that serious.